You're listening to MLB on TuneIn Live,
the podcast.
Play ball!
Presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. eSurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB on TuneIn Live. MLB on TuneIn Live airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time on TuneIn.
Welcome into MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by eSurance. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by Steve Lyons. Today we had a 12-game slate. We'll discuss how they played out shortly, but tonight we're going to start with the MLB on TuneIn Live triple play presented by eSurance. This is where we choose three topics from the day that we most like to have an in-depth discussion about. Today we'll talk about Tuesday's top pitching performances and Tuesday's top offensive performances, but we begin by talking about the monetary value of baseball clubs and how that breaks down.
The MLB on TuneIn, triple play, presented by eSurance.
Psycho, I thought I saw a really cool story today in Forbes. I always like it when these valuations come out, and they got the business of baseball, and today you learn how much every team is valued. Just about every team, I think 24, 25 of the teams are worth over $1 billion these days. Think about that. $1 billion. That's just to get one team. The Yankees are number one at $3.7 billion. They are worth more than most third world countries. You got the Dodgers at 2.75. They're second, followed by the Red Sox. The Cubs move up into top four, and the Giants at five and the Mets at six. You know, moving down just a little bit, we have the Astros and the Mariners. We just listened there. The Astros are 13th, and the Mariners are 14th at 145 and 1.4. And then you got the least valuable franchises, and I say least. Actually, it's 23 of the 30 teams over a billion. The last four, the Indians, $920 million. This is a team that just went to the World Series. The Reds at 915, the A's at 880, and the Rays at 825. All these teams are still making profits. A lot of profit.
Oh, yeah.
Every one of these teams, they can try and twist it any way they want to. They're making tons and tons of money. But, you know, you see the most successful teams. Sometimes, you know, a team will not have a big payroll, and they'll get up there. But look at the top six teams right now. Seven teams. The Cardinals are number seven. They're all playoff teams. The Yankees were not in the playoffs last year. They're actually cutting back on payroll. They'll be back. But the Dodgers, Red Sox, Cubs, Giants, Mets. I mean, these teams always in the hunt. You spend a lot of money these days, you're probably going to be in a playoff hunt.
I mean, and we're talking billion here, too. You know, like, it used to be like, hey, how many millions? Yeah, it's amazing when you look at what the Dodgers sold for when that whole thing, when they were taking
with
the
McCourt
team. Yeah, with the McCourt issue, and they took the team into bankruptcy, and they thought the team was going to be worth like $1.2 billion and ended up selling for $2.2 billion. I mean, a ridiculous jump in the valuation of a team. Especially when all the experts, hey, here's what it's going to be, and it ends up selling for about $1 billion more than initial reports were thinking that the team would sell for, and that just opened the floodgates for everybody. You look at the New York Yankees, there's no big surprise that they're worth almost $4 billion and almost twice as much as what what the Mets are worth in the same town.
That's fascinating. That really is. Now, the average MLB team is worth $1.54 billion. That's almost up 20% over last year. Think about that. That's a massive surge. So you got MLB at bat, the advanced media, they call it BAM. Anything on the internet, the games that way. You've got television deals, which, again, I'm still waiting to see when these television deals aren't paying off anymore. I mean, two-thirds of Los Angeles can't watch the Dodgers, and they're still getting massive television deals. It's just amazing.
$8 billion they paid for the television rights. And, of course,
what?
$8 billion. Yeah, that was the Time Warner
and
deal.
Nobody could see it.
Nobody gets to watch. So that's where your problems are going to come in. Obviously, the Dodgers got the money. They get the money. But when the TV stations who are paying this money can't get the ad revenue out of it, then exactly what you're talking about. When do you start losing at that point when I can't sell it after I've paid for it? So, you know, obviously Time Warner, they've already sold the Spectrum. So you know, Spectrum now has it. Dodgers still can't be seen in Los Angeles. So the fan base is really upset and mad about that situation, as well they should be.
You got luxury tax thresholds that are going up. I have a hard time believing you're going to see almost 20% increase in franchise valuations next year. I mean, this is just a complete abnormality. You actually had some of the top payrolls going down in dollars. Look, the Yankees shed 13% of their salary, and they still got A-Rod on their books. So that's a team going in another direction. The Dodgers shed a little bit of payroll. I was shocked that the Tigers didn't when it was all said and done. They went up 2%. There was rumors that they were actually going to go down. And then you look at the bottom there, the Padres shed 40% of their salary. Think about that for a second. You know, Clayton Kershaw was making more in his opening day start than the whole Padres 25-man roster at that time, yeah. The active players.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I mean, but, you know, to shed 40% from a team that didn't have any payroll to begin with, it really isn't that big a number when you think about it. But, you know, look at it this way. I mean, there's so much money in the game of baseball. There's no question about that. The health of the game is pretty darn good right now. You start to wonder, where is the point of diminishing returns? But at the same time, when was the last time a baseball team went out of business? Doesn't happen. Not going to happen.
No, it doesn't happen.
What was
not
this?
Even the Rays.
Maybe
not
the Seattle Pilots.
Bay.
Did the Seattle Pilots sort of go out of business, or did they just move to Milwaukee?
Yeah, that was so long ago.
I know.
I mean, that was just
that was like before
so
I was born.
Ago.
That's a long time ago.
The Seattle, we got a Seattle Pilots reference here. Bud Selig moving the team to Milwaukee.
Well, that's my follow-up to Lloyd Mosby.
There you go. I like it. Going back in time. But let's face it, this is just it's not going anywhere. The game is fine from the owners. The players are making their money. I think the CBA 4 years from now, if the players aren't getting more of a share of money, then we could see another work stoppage. I kind of see it. Now, we're way far away. But this is the first time in a long time where I've said, I understand where the players are a little upset because the owners are making X amount of increased dollars and the players are making X amount, but it's not even close. Like if the franchises are up 20%, the players are making maybe 3.5% more. So I think the money's going to have to get distributed differently. They also, in this latest CBA, they told the A's, listen, until you get a new stadium, we're not helping you out. You're not getting as much revenue sharing. So they said that there. They said that to Tampa Bay and Oakland. I think that's interesting. So some things still need to get figured out. I am still concerned someday, sooner or later, you know, the television deals, because now things are changing, cutting the cord. That's a hot button term. People aren't using cable or DirecTV as much. They're starting to go to internet, which on one side is a bad thing for some of these teams because less will be watching the local rights, you would think. But on the other side, MLB AM, advanced media, people love watching it there. They're making a ton of money. Major League Baseball runs that. And you're still going to have individual teams have their own television deals. So I just don't know if the money's going to be there from the television deals in the long term. Major League Baseball have to figure out a way to replace that.
Well, it has to dry up sooner or later with the way it's been going up, 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 obviously, and with different ways to be able to watch games like you talked about. You're going to your internet now. You're going to streaming. You don't have to turn on your TV in order to see a ball game anymore like it used to be. So there, you know, you're losing some revenue from one stream, but then it's going to another one where people are making money as well.
Yep. So just always interesting stuff there on Forbes coming out with evaluations of the Major League franchises. The teams at the top, you would think are the top. Teams at the bottom, you think at the bottom. And then everybody in between on that list as well. Let's talk about some of the pitching tonight. Get into Harvey just a little bit more. I know we were just talking about him, but it seems as though the Mets easing him a little bit, 77 pitches, now 90 pitches. You know, I'd expect them within the next couple of starts to let him go out there and throw 100 and just start being a pitcher again. You know, we're far enough away from Tommy John surgery where I'd like to see Harvey get a chance to go over 100 pitches deep into a ball game and be as efficient as he was in that first game against Atlanta where he was mowing them down. You know, and I do wonder if we're starting to see Matt Harvey less of a guy that's just trying to strike everybody out and more of a guy that's just trying to get outs.
Yeah, which is every pitcher evolves into that as they get a little bit older. You know, I mean, chicks dig the long ball and pitchers love strikeouts. You know, that's kind of the way it is. And after they get a little older, they say, why don't I get an out with just one pitch instead of six? And, you know, conserve my energy and get deeper into ball games. But, you know, I'm never one of those guys that I don't like pitch counts. I believe that pitchers today get injured more often than they used to because they don't throw enough, not because they throw too much. They don't build arm strength. No one ever lets a guy throw over 100 pitches. That's why he can't. You know, the other team will let you know when you're tired. But I'm a little bit on the fence as to the way I would have treated Harvey today. You and I were surprised that he came out for the sixth, and that's when his hamstring tightened up on him. You know, he is a guy that you have to treat a little bit more delicately now because of his injury history. And this was a game that was well at hand after he threw his five innings. It seems to me that I may have made the decision, let's just get him out of there. And we'll keep building things up, but it's a long season. This game is an easy win. Get him out of there. Let the pen finish this off.
Yeah, that's funny that you say that. That's exactly what we were saying, right? Hey, let's let this pitcher go out, try and throw 100. But at the end of six innings, we looked at him and said, hey, Matt Harvey, he's right at 80 pitches. He ended up with 92 in the night. You've seen enough out of him. Just get him out of there. But nope, they sent him back out there, and the hamstring happens. I mean, I don't blame the Mets for trying to get him a few more pitches there. It's just a bad circumstance, and hopefully it's not serious and they don't have to push the start back or anything like that. That was just one of quite a few pitching performances that we've seen so far tonight that have been impressive. You are with the Red Sox broadcast team doing pre and post on Nessing, do some in-game stuff there as well. And Drew Pomerantz making his first start of the year off the DL, 6+ innings, 4 hits a run, 6 Ks. I mean, tell me, what did you see from Pomerantz tonight, and what do you expect from him going forward? Because this looked like the guy we saw in San Diego at the start of last year.
Right. What the Red Sox have seen out of him is inconsistency. I mean, you know, this is a guy who was an all-star in San Diego. There was some injury history there. We talked about the trade between the Red Sox and the Padres and the trouble that the Padres got in because of it. Although there was nothing that was given to the Red Sox because of it. It was kind of a weird situation. But he was inconsistent when he got to the Red Sox. And so they ended up pitching him out of the bullpen because he could come out and his velocity was a little higher. He didn't have to worry about going 5-6 innings. He just came out and would throw an inning or two and just air it out. He got up to 96 at times out of the pen last year. We didn't see that out of him today, but I was impressed with his velocity at 93 because no one really saw that in spring training. His breaking stuff was sharp. He went deep into a ball game. All of those things, I don't really think that the Red Sox expected to get out of him. They were hoping for it, but I don't think they expected it.
Well, they got it tonight, and they got it out of Drew Pomerantz. He looked good. I thought Dylan Bundy actually did a nice job tonight as well, and Bundy coming off a season debut where he was flat-out dominating. Didn't have the dominant stuff tonight. 6 1/3 innings, gave up 3 runs, struck out 3. But I thought Bundy did a good job. When you're going on the road to Boston and you could put up that type of line, get a little deeper in a ball game. I can't believe I'm saying 6 1/3, but yeah, he got into the 7th inning. Here's a guy that struck out 8, gave up a run in 7 innings in his season debut against Toronto. And these are division games too, so everybody knows what Dylan Bundy's given. And Dylan Bundy knows the tendencies of the other guys. When you can go out, give up 3 runs and 6 1/3, that's a legit quality start to me.
It is, too. And you're suddenly going up against a Red Sox lineup that isn't the flu-stricken MASH unit that they have been for the entire season leading up to this point. You get Hanley Ramirez back in the lineup. You get a little bit stronger Mookie Betts back in the lineup. You have Bogey back in the lineup off the bereavement list. You know, now you're starting to talk about the lineup they're going to run out there on an everyday basis, and those guys can swing the bat. So what Dylan Bundy did against them, if you think about it, was the bullpen that really gave it up. He did his job. Once they handed the ball over to the bullpen, those guys weren't able to keep it going.
You know, right now, for the Washington Nationals, we're seeing good Gio Gonzalez. The bad Gio Gonzalez will pop up at some point in time, but in his his season opener, he threw 6 shutout innings with 7 Ks, and his start got cut short because of a rain delay. Tonight, against the Cardinals, he looked really good. 7 innings, 2 runs, just 1 was earned, and 6 strikeouts. But here's the most important thing. He didn't walk anybody. And, yeah, the Cardinals' offense is struggling. But Gio Gonzalez, you could tell he was pitching. How many BBs are in there? And 0 tonight. 6 under the SO column, 0 BB. And that tells me that Gio Gonzalez has got the groove going right now.
Yeah, you know, you hope the bad Gio doesn't come back because he's fun to watch pitch when he's on his game. Did he get a freshly new haircut, too? Doesn't he get a haircut before every start?
Yeah, nice little haircut there.
Yeah, he gets the haircut. He was ready to go. And, you know, you just don't You want, I mean, we all have our favorite teams, right? You want one team to win. You want them to beat the other club. But what I really like to see is I love to see good performances out of individual players that help a team win. And, you know, Gonzalez is a guy that can do that so often, and you just wish for it to happen every time. But you know, as you said, that he's going to have some stinkers every once in a while.
Yeah, you got the good Gio tonight. We'll see when the other Gio shows up. But right now, looking great. 0.69 ERA and a 1-0 record. So a nice start here for one Gio Gonzalez. Then the other pitching performances, I think, of note, were really this afternoon. When you looked at Carlos Carrasco coming off, you know, last season where he was hurt for a lot of the second half, didn't get a chance to pitch in the playoffs. 7 innings, 4 hits, a run, 7 Ks, no walks. That was great. Hey, James Shields, who was just horrible. He might have been the worst starting pitcher last year in Major League Baseball. Gave up the most home runs. Today, his second straight good start. 5 1/3 innings, 2 hits, a run, 6 strikeouts. Not sure if you got any talk about them. They were the early games today. Matthew Boyd, who got rocked in his first start.
Oregon
with
State
Detroit.
Product.
What's that?
Out of Oregon State, Matt Boyd.
Oh, that's your boy,
you
Oregon State.
Yeah.
6 innings of 1 hit shutout baseball, 6 Ks. And Hector Santiago on the other side, who took the loss, gave up 2 runs and 6 1/3. But that's really some good pitching performances that we saw today. And if I'm going to go out there and name one guy, I think Boyd was one, Carrasco was two, and then a pretty close third was Drew Pomerantz. Just really impressed with what he gave tonight, and we'll see how much he can give the Red Sox throughout the season. It's all about health with him. How many of these pitchers do you say that, though? It's all health with Harvey. It's all health with Carrasco. It's pitchers just get hurt way, way too often.
Yeah, I mean, it's an unnatural act. You know, I mean, you look at a Tommy John surgery. You know, if you haven't had one, you're just waiting for the opportunity to arise where you will have it. It seems like every pitcher has it sooner or later. You know, the other guy you mentioned there, too, James Shields, he's going to be an interesting guy to watch this year because of the year he had last year. Wasn't good, wasn't productive. He's always been a big-time guy. You know, if you have a career like he has had and then you suddenly go south like he did, gave up all those home runs, had a bad year, you got to think, how am I going to get back to that guy that I used to be? Maybe I have to evolve as a pitcher. Maybe I'm not going to be the dominant force that I had been, but I can still figure out a way to get outs. And you know, maybe he's done that now.
Maybe he has done that. We'll have to see going forward. Let's get some other thoughts here offensively. We talked about great pitching performances tonight, or interesting ones to say the least. Drew Pomerantz really sticking out. Matt Harvey's start was interesting. What about offensively? Matt Harvey's teammate, Yoenis Cespedes, 3 home runs tonight. The Mets scored 14 runs. They banged out 20 hits, 15 of which 15 were extra base hits, franchise record. 7 home runs, ties the franchise record. 4 times it's happened, all 4 times at Citizens Bank Ballpark in Philly. But Cespedes just unleashing power tonight with 3 home runs and then a double. I think the double he hit harder than just about any of them. Big night for Yoenis. And this guy got off the schneid, and it has begun for the guy that really needs to be their team MVP.
Yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable because, I mean, from my vantage point, what I saw, it looked to me like he hit the same pitch all the time. He hit almost all fastballs. It wasn't like anyone tried to drop a curveball on him or throw him a changeup or throw something on the outer half. Everything he got, good hitters get themselves into good hitting counts, and then they get good pitches to hit, and that's what he did. And, you know, if you get yourself into a good hitter's count, you get the pitch you want, you can't miss it. And this guy just doesn't miss it very often. If he gets a good pitch to hit, he hammers it. And I stand by my statement before. He hit 3 home runs, but the double he hit to center field over the center fielder's head was probably the hardest ball he hit all day. He took that thing right off his shoe tops and drilled it about 390 feet right to the base of the wall.
I mean, he just had a big night tonight. He was locked in from start to finish. A lot of Yoenis Cespedes highlights on this show. All right, let's move on to the Mets rivals, the Washington Nationals. Now, Bryce Harper's been going nuts. He's been getting on at an epic pace here. Walked 3 times tonight, went 1-for-2, scored a couple runs. But he's not the story from the Nationals. How about Daniel Murphy, who leads the National League in hits with 17, went 4-for-5 with 5 RBIs. He was a triple shy of the cycle. He doubled in his last at-bat. I mean, you and I have debated whether he was going 100%, whether he made it into third. But listen, it was a five-run game at the time, so we understand that he's not going to bust at the third on that. It would have been unnecessary and made the third out. That being said, Daniel Murphy is in some kind of groove and last year and was no fluke, and neither was that run with the Mets in 2015. No fluke.
Yeah, and that came out of nowhere, really. That's when he decided that he was going to be put on the map, and he became a free agent then, and, you know, who was going to sign him? The Mets decided they didn't want him back there. The Nationals took a shot at him. He had a great year for them, and he's just continuing on right now. He just looks like a veteran presence. It looked like a guy who went from being sort of an iffy player to figuring it out and becoming a guy that you rely on and is going to be a main part of your lineup. That's so hard to do at the major league level. Guys just don't click it on all of a sudden. You know, you kind of don't change your stripes, but certain guys do. I can think of Turner with the Dodgers, same thing. Both of them out of the Mets organization, guys that kind of were floundering a little bit in that organization and then going on to stardom elsewhere.
Yeah, well, he's just a guy that's really turned it on here. Very important part. And I thought he was the most valuable player of that team last year. He was one of three or four MVP finalists in the National League. Let's stay in the East, though, because that's where all the big performances were. National League East, Marcell Ozuna. Now, think about this. This is an all-star, a guy that's got a 1236 OPS. He's hitting 423. Yeah, we're seven games into it. But he went 2-for-2 with a walk, two home runs. They were both three-run home runs, and that equals six RBIs. In a lineup, check out this Marlins lineup. You don't think these guys can hit. It's a big ballpark, but D. Gordon, JT Realmuto, who's off to a sizzling start, one of the better hitting catchers in the game, Yelich, Stanton, Bohr, and Ozuna's hitting six for them? Are you kidding me? I mean, on a lot of teams, he'd be hitting third or at the very least fifth, but the 26-year-old's really coming into his own now, had a monster game tonight. Got his season going with that home run, those six RBIs. Marcell Ozuna, I expect him to be an all-star again when it's all said and done by the end of the first half. Last year, he banged out 23 home runs. He's not a base stealer. He's a guy that can play defense, though. Marcell Ozuna, big night tonight with six ribbies and two homers.
Yeah, how nice is it, the three-run Johnsons, man? Those are such good home runs. I mean, guys hit solo shots. Grand slams are few and far between, but three-run homers are backbreakers for an opposing team. And when you hit two of them, the game over. You know, you're throwing up those kind of numbers. You know, we talk about wipeout innings. You know, if you can score four or more in an inning, you should win. It's not the one run here, one run there that wins you ball games. It's the inning where you blow them out for one good inning and you score four or five. If you do that, you should win ball games. Ozuna hits 2 3-run homers. That's a killer to another team.
All right, let's get to our last guy of the night. You got to look all the way down the Boston Red Sox lineup. Now, if you look at the top, Pedroia went 2-for-4 with four RBIs. That's good. At the bottom, Christian Vasquez, 26-year-old catcher for the Red Sox, hitting ninth tonight. No Sandy Leon. He's in for Leon. 4-for-4 with a couple of runs and a couple RBIs. He had a triple, as a matter of fact. Christian Vasquez, how did he get on this list?
Yeah, well, a 4-for-4 night will do it for you. He drove in a couple runs tonight, too. Hey, this is a guy who doesn't get a chance to play that much because Sandy Leon is the number one catcher. Sandy Leon is an excellent defensive catcher, but Vasquez is too. That's kind of his calling card. The reason why he isn't the number one catcher is because he hasn't been able to hit. But guess what? So far this season, he's made two starts. You haven't been able to get him out. He's 5-for-5 on the year. That's batting 1,000 last time I checked. He's got a cannon for an arm, and he had a Tommy John surgery. That kind of kept him out for a good year and stunted his progress a little bit. But if he can swing the bat, can be a very viable catcher, and if not for the Red Sox, for someone else, because Red Sox also have Blake Swihart waiting in the wings, who's kind of a work in progress behind the plate, but is the best hitting catcher of all three of them. Eventually, you would think someone may be wanting to make a deal for one of those guys.
Well, again, some great pitching performances. Cespedes, you know, he had never had more than three home runs tonight. He had three home runs tonight. Daniel Murphy tied career highs with four hits and five RBIs. He had Ozuna with six RBIs and two home runs, and then Christian Vasquez sneaking away in there, and definitely deservedly so, going 4-for-4 at the bottom of the Red Sox lineup tonight.
You're listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this. TuneIn is your home for all NFL action, now featuring No Huddle.
Cordell Stewart, he's just that versatile.
And Brian Weber.
I'm a middle-aged white guy. It's a team effort here.
You're a great guy.
Yeah,
excellent young man. I appreciate it.
Oh, I gave you young man
for that one.
Save the tape. Excellent young man,
this
Brian
is the
Weber.
Last time I'll say it, though.
Cordell Stewart and Brian Weber will break down all things NFL.
I'm not doing truth. I'm telling you what the outcome is going to be.
That's the problem I'm having with you right
truth
now.
Truth is the name of your
because
book.
Because you know Sell what's that book wrong, again. And you know what's right, you would prefer to go with what's wrong because the pundits are the ones that determine what happened.
I'm telling you what's going to happen.
No, I'm asking you.
The name of the show is not shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Let's try this one.
That's our podcast.
Let me rephrase this one more time.
Listen live Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern or catch all the replays and interviews on demand on the NFL on TuneIn.
It's like us being on our app and being able to come into your cell phones, and it's different now.
This is MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and Steve Lyons.
Tuesday had 12 games in total. To review all the action right now, we got Best Day Ever, Home Run Tracker, and Statistically Speaking. Now it is time, Steve, for us to look at the guys that we think had better days than everybody else.
Best Day Ever on MLB on TuneIn Live.
All right, I thought you were going to go with Cespedes. You didn't go with Cespedes. I was going to go with Marcell Ozuna, 2 home runs and 6 RBIs. But if you're not going with Cespedes, I'm going with Cespedes. 3 home runs. I mean, the guy just belted baseballs all over the place. Added a double, which I think he hit harder than any of his home runs. Yoenis Cespedes, congrats, dude. You are best day ever at the plate for me. How about you?
Well, is it crazy that Cespedes could hit 3 home runs and a double and come in third place on best day ever? I mean, you liked what Ozuna did. So do I with the 2 3-run Johnsons. But I'm going with Daniel Murphy. A chance for the cycle. 4 for 5 on the day. 5 RBIs on top of which. So he did a little bit of everything. I mean, it's amazing when you see a guy jump yard 3 times. But it's also a lot of fun to see a guy, you know, hit a couple doubles and a home run and a single and drive in runs. It's a pretty complete day. So I got Daniel Murphy today.
I like it. Triple shy of the cycle, career high, ties it in hits and RBIs. So good one right there. Best day ever on the mound. I'm going to go way a long time ago. The afternoon game, Tigers beat the Twins 2-1. Matthew Boyd, 6 shutout innings of 1-hit baseball. He did walk 2, but he struck out 6. This game was tight all the way through. The 26-year-old left-hander really impressed me in this one because in his season opener, it was really, really ugly. He lasted 2 1/3 innings and gave up 5 runs. Yeah, against the White Sox. Had a 19.29 ERA after that one. But he came back, bounced back. Great start today for the Tigers. Matthew Boyd, best day ever. How about you, Steve?
Well, you and I are both digging deep here. I mean, you could go with a guy like Tyon for Pittsburgh, even though he didn't get the win. I mean, this is a guy who went deep. A lot of things are expected out of him. But this is my crazy pick right here. You're going to laugh at me, but I love it. I'm going with Jared Weaver. Jared Weaver doesn't get the win, but he keeps his team in the game today in Colorado. Gave his team a chance to win a ball game. He goes 6 innings, gave up just 3 hits and 2 runs in Colorado. There's no way when that game starts that you're thinking that Jared Weaver's going to survive 3 innings, let alone go 6 and only give up 2 runs in that game. That's a game that if you're the San Diego Padres, you have to go in and win that game for Jared Weaver, given what he did for that club.
It's a beautiful one. I like it. Actually, I'm a big fan of that one. I do have the best day ever that trumps everybody else, though. Now, normally, we just stick to human beings, but I do have an update. Marlins Park tonight, a black cat during the game ran out up the wall and into the gigantic carnival, whatever the heck that flying fish thing is that goes around in circles when home runs happen. So, they rescued the black cat. This, according to the Marlins Park Twitter handle, the black cat has been rescued, but then he eluded the rescue after he was rescued, ran away into the night. It is safe. Rally cat has escaped and he goes back to his natural elements. Best day ever for the black cat, rally cat down there in Miami.
Hey, so it was just
congratulations
one of,
to him.
It was just one of his lives.
You're right. He's got eight more after this one. So that's legitimately best day ever for that cat.
He'll be right back on the field tomorrow trying to climb that fish statue again.
I hope so. I hope so. For his sake, I really do hope he makes it through the night. Let's move on, though, because we got to track all the balls that left the yard tonight.
MLB on TuneIn Live Home Run Tracker.
All right, there's literally like 8,000 home runs tonight, but I'll get through as many as I can. First of all, the longest home run of the night belongs to Charlie Blackmon, who blasted a home run 458 feet in Colorado. 458. That is destroying a baseball. The shortest home run tonight still counts the same as Charlie Blackmon's. Actually, it counts more because it was a three-run home run. Blackmon's was solo. Little Scooter Jeanette of the Cincinnati Reds in the eighth inning hit one. Yep, 348 feet, 96 miles off the bat. All right, so congratulations to Scooter Jeanette. You got on there.
How far did Margos go today? He crushed one today in that Colorado game, too, didn't he?
Patience, my friend. Patience. I'm going to get to that one.
All right.
A lot of home runs to get to. The highest exit velocity on a home run. Now, remember, Yoenis Cespedes' double was 110 or 111 miles an hour. Todd Frazier's home run tonight, 110 miles an hour, 390 feet. That was the highest exit velocity. Randall Grichuk hit one at 109 for the St. Louis Cardinals. But here's the other home runs. James McCann went 366. Francisco Lindor's 397. Frazier, 390, 110 off the bat. Yoenis Cespedes, his first one went 411, 105 off the bat. His second went 382, 108 off the bat. I don't see his third one, but that's on me. I'm sure it's on the list right now anyways.
His third one was massive.
His third one just went out of the ballpark like in a heartbeat. Keon Broxton hit one 379. Mikel Franco off of Matt Harvey, 354. Only 94 off the bat. I mean, that's a pop fly in most places.
354 Jason, as a homer?
Yeah. 350. It's Philadelphia.
That's right.
It's like dead center is 354.
Yeah, that's 354. That's 20 rows deep.
Asdrubal Cabrera went 393 there. Grichuk 428. I was telling you about the exit velo at 109. Worth, turn back time, hit one 390, 99 miles an hour. Marcelo Zuna had two home runs tonight. His first one went 401. His second one went 394. Although he hit the second one at 107 and the first one was at 106, so just went a mile faster, but it went shorter. Weeders hit one 378. Duvall hit one 424, but 108 off the bat, so he spanked that one. Daniel Murphy's home run went 384 feet. Manuel Margot, how about 417 feet for Manny?
Wow.
That's not a bad shot, huh?
Yeah.
I like it.
I'll
Domingo
take it.
Santana, 377. Marcelo Zuna, 394. Lucas Duda hit one 448 feet tonight at Citizens Bank Ballpark.
He hit two, too, didn't he?
Yeah, Duda in the sixth and Duda in the ninth went 375. George Springer's blast went 416. Ledmus Diaz went 420. Cargo hit 392. Elvis Andrews, 378. And Jonathan Lucroy's three-run home run, 399. So that's your home run tracker for tonight. So I'm just looking here for Cespedes. I got Cespedes in the first at 411. I got Cespedes in the fifth at 382. And Grichuk is at 428. All right, so that was Cespedes. Grichuk is Cespedes. All right, very good. The other one went 428. See, we got it. 109 off the bat. That's pretty good. All right, let's move on and get into some statistics.
Statistically speaking.
Are you ready for this one? How about James Shields, Psycho? You and I were talking about James Shields.
Big game.
He still hasn't allowed a single this season. 10 2/3 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 doubles, 2 homers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think, all things considered, I'd rather start giving up some singles.
That's exactly what I would consider also. Yes, I would like to give up some singles. Nice stat there, Abe. Last night, the Nats became the first team since 2013 with errors by the first, second, third baseman, and shortstop in the same game.
That's a bad night.
That's a bad night.
That is a porous defense.
Huh. Since 2012, the Marlins have 7 home runs off pitches 97-plus miles an hour. Marcelo Ozuna has 3 of them. Yoenis Cespedes, first player in Mets franchise history with multiple 3 home run games. He's got multiple 3 home run games. He's just power hitter.
This is what I don't get. The Mets have never had a guy who's had 2-3 home run games except Cespedes. That's it in their entire
history? He's the guy.
Doesn't sound right, does it?
Shea Stadium, tough place to hit. Then you got Citi Field, tough place to hit.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, now it's Citizens Bank Ballpark. Anybody can hit 3 home runs. Even Yoenis Cespedes. Quite the feat by Cespedes. By the way, the Mets, 7 home runs. There's 7 home run games. They've had 4 of them all at Citizens Bank Ballpark. Just fascinating. What else we got here? 16 players have 4 home run games. The most recent was Josh Hamilton in 2012. 16 players have had 4 home runs in a game. I didn't know that.
Hard hitting Mark Whitten.
That's right.
Sean Green.
George Springer, 4th leadoff home run of the season tonight. The rest of MLB has 6 this year. Wow. Oh, that's a great stat.
He's going up hacking.
Yep. Let's see here. Fewest games to 50 home runs with the Mets. Dave Kingman hit 50 home runs in 164 games. Piazza did it in 208. Cespedes right in the middle at 197. Don't sleep on Dave Kingman, ladies and gentlemen. In today's game, he would have been making $30 million a year.
He's still launching balls over the wall and left.
Absolutely. And then Marcel Ozuna had a career-high 6 RBIs for the Marlins. He leads the majors with 12 RBIs this season. Big night for Marcel Ozuna.
Got half of them tonight.
Well, pretty big night.
What about Dan? Well, okay, so he leads with 12. Right. So a guy like Daniel Murphy, who also got 5 tonight, so clearly didn't have that many more before then.
No, he did not.
So he did not have 7 RBIs on the night.
That is correct. He did not have 7 RBIs on the night.
On
he
the
came
season.
Into the game with 4 RBIs, so he now has 9 RBIs. Count them.
Creeping
9.
Up.
And Reynolds is 2nd with 10, is what I've been told by Abe Gordon, our producer. That's it for MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn Live at 7 Eastern each weeknight. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only get to hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you can also have the chance to listen live to the games and get in on the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and Steve Lyons alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner. We'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. TuneIn, your everything audio app.